Genesis 28, starting at verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done it, what I have promised you." When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called the place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth."
Please leave your Bibles open there, Genesis 28. But before we get into God's word, let's ask God to guide us. Let's pray. Father God, as we reflect on the words that we've just heard read to us, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would give us much light into what you have to reveal to us today. We pray that you might quieten our hearts and minds, and that you might help us to put aside all of the things from last week or the things we might be thinking about for next week. Help us to sit in your presence now, to hear what you have for us, and to be changed by your word and by your spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, imagine being trapped hundreds of metres underground in a mine where the walls are quite close together, where there's no light apart from maybe a flickering torch, where the air is filled with dust, dirt and debris. That was the reality for the miners stuck in the Beaconsfield mine disaster back in 2006. They were cut off from the world above. Every sound, every echo they would have heard would have made them wonder if they were ever going to get out. It's not hard to imagine how they would have felt. You could imagine them thinking things like, "Is this the end? Are my children going to grow up with a single parent? Maybe how is my wife going to pay the bills if I'm gone?" Fear and uncertainty would have been pressing on all sides. Hope would have been very fragile, almost impossible to hold on to. And then came the moment when help broke through from above. After what would have seemed like endless darkness, if you've ever been stuck in utter darkness, time drags on. What would have seemed like endless darkness, the rescuers made their way down through the rock to reach those miners where they were trapped. The miners weren't able to climb up to rescue themselves. they needed someone else to come down to them. And as those rescuers made their way down into the mine, light flooded in to what was otherwise a dark cavity. Air rushed down the shaft. You can imagine how exciting, how relieving that would have been for those trapped miners. The same people who had felt trapped and powerless only moments ago were now safe. And the contrast would have been staggering. From thinking they were about to die to experiencing the joy of their salvation. And even though none of us are likely to get trapped in a mine anytime soon, we all have moments when we feel trapped by our circumstances, by our fears, and maybe our doubts. It can feel as though there's no way out, and hope can feel beyond reach. And in Genesis 28, Jacob is experiencing something very similar. He was on a journey that was taking him away from his home, running for his life, facing an uncertain future. Yet in that moment, when Jacob was running, not seeking, not praying, not worshipping, God came down to him. God came down to confirm that his promise would not fail and that Jacob would not be abandoned. Jacob was moved from a place of fear to a place of assurance and hope, because God came down and met him where he was at. And the events of Genesis 28 show us that no matter how trapped or discouraged we may feel, God's promises remain true, whether we can see it or not. God is always at work in our lives. And like the sudden rescue from darkness that the miners at Beaconfield felt, his presence brings light and hope into the lives of all those who put their faith in him, because he will never leave them nor forsake them. By the time we get to today's passage, Jacob is facing a huge setback. As Jacob left Beersheba, which is in Canaan, the promised land, it would have felt like the biggest step away from God's promise being fulfilled. He was heading back to where Abraham had come from. He was fleeing for his life because his older brother wanted to kill him. He was being sent away by his parents to a place that he had never been before. A place where he didn't know anyone. A place where he was going to have to depend on the hospitality of strangers. And he was being sent away, sent back to where God gave Abraham the promise in the first place. Back when Abraham, who was Jacob's grandfather, back when Abraham was making a plan to find a wife for Isaac, Jacob's father, he refused to send his son Isaac back to his homeland, because obviously that felt like a step back in the promise. In fact, in chapter 24, he made his servant promise not to take Isaac back to his homeland. But now, because of Jacob's bad choices, Jacob, the next generation to receive God's promise, was being sent into exile away from the promised land. The consequences of Jacob's actions were all around him. He couldn't stay with his parents because Esau would have surely killed him if given the opportunity. But going would have felt like such a failure. And yet, out of obedience to his parents, and frankly because he had no other option, Jacob began the long journey from Beersheba to Haran. Now, the journey was around 1,000 kilometres, and back then, obviously, that was done by foot. It would have taken around 2 or 3 months to complete. There were no mobile phones, no email, no Facebook for Jacob to look up and see how his family were doing. He was effectively saying goodbye to his mother and his aging father without any certainty that he would ever see them again. And as he made his way to Haran, he stopped and camped in a place that he would later name Bethel. Now, this place was around 16 kilometres north of Jerusalem. And there he found a stone, not much of a pillow, a stone to lay his head on for the night. His situation would have felt hopeless in that moment. Becoming a great nation and possessing the land of Canaan would have felt impossible. But just when it appeared as though all help was lost, God showed Jacob that even in exile, heaven was not distant, because God himself had drawn near. As Jacob fell asleep, God gave him a dream. Now, I don't know about you, but when I have a dream, most of the time by the morning, I can only remember little bits and pieces of it. But that doesn't seem to have been a problem for Jacob. And when I have a dream, I don't assume that it's a message from God that I need to pay great attention to, because they usually come from things, maybe something I've watched on TV or maybe a book that I've read. But when Jacob had this dream as he slept, he knew straight away that this was a message from God. In ancient Israel, dreams were commonly understood as one of the ways that God would communicate with his people. And so as Jacob was given this dream of a staircase that went from the earth up to heaven, with angels coming backward and forward on this staircase, he knew this dream was a message from God. Back at the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11, mankind had tried to build this incredible tower to make a name for themselves, to be able to make their way up to God. At Babel, proud humanity tried to build its way up to heaven. But at Bethel, heaven came down to a fugitive lying on a rock. In his dream of angels going up and down this staircase, God is showing Jacob his ongoing involvement in this world, that nothing in heaven or on earth escapes his attention, and that his presence never leaves those who trust in him. And that's when God himself revealed who he is to Jacob. You see, up until now, Jacob had been living according to the faith of his parents. It was his family tradition. It was a part of his culture. But Jacob had yet to own a faith of his own. Now, as God stood there above the staircase and declared that he is the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac, God had come down to Jacob, meeting him when he was at his lowest. And as he slept there on the rock, he heard God say that he would make Jacob's descendants into a great nation, and that he would bring his descendants back into the land he had promised to give them. When Jacob woke up, he knew that this dream was a word from God. And so he worshipped the one who had came down to him when he was at his lowest. When the dream was over, Jacob woke up. And it must have still been night time at that point, because verse 18 tells us what he did the next morning. And so it was probably still dark, still quiet, out in the wilderness, when he had realized that he had just heard from God. So Jacob said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." Jacob wasn't out there looking for God. He was fleeing for his life. He had no idea that he would find himself in God's presence. But when God found him there, he responded with reverence and fear for the one who is in control of all things. words often lose meaning in our culture because we misuse them so often. He said, how awesome is this place? But he wasn't using the word awesome like some people might over maybe a nice restaurant or a fancy coffee shop. He was referring to a reverent fear, almost afraid of the perfect holy God who he had experienced. The next morning, Jacob made a pillar, most likely out of a mound of rocks that are plentiful in that area, and then placed the rock that he'd used as a pillow on top and poured oil on it. What he was doing was setting that apart for the Lord. He was declaring that place as holy. And he named that place Bethel, which means house of God. Then he made this vow, a vow that if God would protect him, make his mission a success, and deliver him back to his father's household one day, then Jacob would worship him and give him a tenth of all that he had. Now, it didn't seem much like Jacob was in a position to be making bargains with God. But what he seems to have been doing is saying something like, God, if your word is true, if your word proves to be true, then I will trust in you. And however flawed his response may appear, this was just an early stage of Jacob's faith in the God who is in control of all things. God had met Jacob when he was at his lowest, when he would have been feeling trapped by his circumstances, discouraged about God's promise, and overwhelmed by the reality of leaving his home and moving to a place that he had never been before and didn't know. However, at Bethel, a broken fugitive was met by God's grace. God didn't wait for Jacob to return to the promised land. God didn't wait for Jacob to fix his mistakes. God came down into the wilderness and met Jacob where he was at. As Jacob lay there in the darkness with his head on this rock, he saw something remarkable. Not people climbing up and down to heaven, making their own way to God, but heaven reaching down to us. The staircase wasn't about human effort. It was about divine intervention. And that's why, rather than referring to this dream as Jacob's ladder, it makes far more sense to refer to it as God's staircase. God was showing Jacob that the distance between heaven and earth couldn't be closed by human effort. It needed to be closed by God coming down. And centuries later, Jesus would echo those very words in John 1:51. There Jesus says, I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. The staircase was never the ultimate point. It was always a signpost that points to something far greater. It pointed forward to the day when God wouldn't just appear in a dream to some guy sleeping on a rock, but would become human, live among his people. At Bethel, Jacob learnt that God came down to meet a broken man in the wilderness. But as John 1:14 reminds us, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father full of grace and truth. In Christ, we see that God has come down once and for all, entering our world so that we would never be alone in darkness again. As Matthew 1:22 reminds us, Jesus is Emmanuel, which means God is with us as a man during his earthly ministry and now by his Spirit. And Jesus has promised in Matthew 28:20 that he will always be with those who trust in him, even to the very end of the age. If we have faith in Jesus, God is always with us. He is with us no matter what we have done, no matter how big we've messed up, no matter what we are going through. The cross of Jesus is the guarantee that no matter how bad our lives get, no matter how badly we have failed, no matter how trapped or overwhelmed or discouraged we may feel, God has come down to us. He's guaranteed that he will be with us and work in us to make us more like him, because he will never leave or forsake those who trust in him. Let's pray. Father God, we acknowledge that we have all sinned and fall short of your standard of good. We've all messed up in so many different ways. We've all tried to reach our way up to you in our own strength. Lord, we recognize that we cannot make our way to you. And so we praise you because you made your way down to us. Lord, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for his willingness to live, die in our place so that we could have life forever in him. And we pray that you would help us to fix our hope on that good news. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.